Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. We're going to talk about the subject, be thankful. Thanksgiving has already come and gone, but we are to continually to be thankful unto God for the things that we have had. In Colossians 3 and 15, Paul wrote these words, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." In the United States, people celebrate the annual national holiday known as Thanksgiving. As I said, we just celebrated that a couple of months ago. This tradition in American history is rooted and it's become a tradition in our country. Also, people have some unique ways of celebrating Thanksgiving in this country. Well, but in the history of this country and in Thanksgiving as well as other countries, how people celebrate Thanksgiving in other countries. Every day should be, though, for the Christian, a day of Thanksgiving. Because Paul gave thanks for the faithful brethren who are in Christ Jesus. Now look with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and Paul's going to talk about these folks. In his salutation of the book, he said to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, "Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Now, Paul gave thanks not only for the faithful brethren in Christ, but also for Christ himself, for what Christ did, that he could be a member of the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 15, Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth and said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift was the offering of his Son upon the cross, is buried in a tomb, but rose from the dead that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Prayer is also a means of expressing thanks to Almighty God. As we just noted in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "Praying always for you." He prayed always for the brethren there at Colossae that they would have much success in the Lord. Paul also used prayer with thanksgiving. He combined the two. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." He connected the two together. He says, continue in prayer and watch and do the same with thanksgiving. Always be thankful to God when you pray. Then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he did the same thing. He combined prayer with thanksgiving. When he wrote these words, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He says you pray and you ask God with thanksgiving. Then you can let your requests be made known unto God. So, thanksgiving is very important in addressing God in prayer, and that God will see that we do mean what we say. In the first place, I want us to note, be thankful. We're to be thankful for the peace that God gives us. The peace. And back in our text, in Colossians 3 and 15, Paul said, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." You know, prior to conversion, men are alienated or separated from God. Because Paul pointed this out in Colossians 1 and verse 21. He He says, and you that are sometimes alienated, that means separated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He said, you once was alienated, you were separated from God, you was his enemy in your mind by the what you did, by your wicked works. He said, now hath he reconciled you. He's reconciled us through his Son. And we have the opportunity now. All men have the opportunity to be converted unto Jesus Christ and not have to stay in the state of being alienated or separated from God. But you know, in conversion, when people are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, in conversion, men make peace with God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, the verse above that, Paul said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him he to reconcile all things unto himself. But by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. He says, God has had made peace with mankind through the sacrifice of Jesus, to reconcile or to make friends again with mankind through the blood of Christ, that people can be saved. Now, the death of Christ, therefore, makes peace possible that we can have in our minds. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. He says, you was once afar off. You was once alienated from God. He said, but now you recognize the peace that you can have, the real peace you can have, the peace, perfect peace that you can have by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, said Paul, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall partition between us. He's gotten rid of the old law. The law of Christ has come into effect, and therefore the death of Christ makes it possible that men can have peace. Therefore, when we have this peace, we're justified men. We're justified. And we have peace with God in our lives. Paul talked over and over about peace and justification in his writings. One in particular is Romans 5 and verse 1, when he says, therefore, being justified by faith. By faith in what? By faith in Christ. That faith there, he said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have peace in things. He said we can only have true, perfect peace with God through Christ. Therefore, those who made peace with God can enjoy the peace of God. You can enjoy peace tonight. Because in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul wrote to the brethren at Philippi, and he said, and the peace of God, what's the peace of God produce? Which passeth all understanding. It produces understanding. The peace of God, you can have this peace, perfect peace, as we just sang about. Instead of anxiety and worry controlling your life, then peace can rule in your heart, as we looked in our text in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. But this peace also demands our attitude of gratitude to God. Because we have to recognize where this peace comes from. It comes from God, and we have to be grateful for this. In the previous verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He said, you do this by prayer and supplication, and then you let your request be made known to God, that he will produce, that you'll show God that you're grateful for this peace which he gives to you. Peace is not for sale on the open market, though. You cannot buy peace like you can. It does not come chemically. Through alcohol and drugs, you cannot get real peace through that. People have tried to use those methods to escape, to find peace, but you can't find real peace by doing that. Peace only comes from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can get it. The song which we just sang, Peace, Perfect Peace, is a beautiful expression of this point in our lesson tonight, that we can have the true peace, the perfect peace, that God gives us through His Word. In the second place, we need to be thankful for the privilege of being in Christ's body. Again, going back to our text, Colossians 3:15, Paul says, in one body. He says, one body. So therefore, where there's only one body, and Christ is the head of the body, and the body is identified as the church. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul said, now He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He demands in our lives one of obedience, because Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things He might have the preeminence. So Christ is over the church. He's over elders, the deacons, preachers, teachers, other members of the church. He is the head of the church. We're to honor Him. We're to obey Him. Because in the body of Christ, although Christ is the head of the church, all members are important. Remember that. All members of the church are important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, Paul is talking about the different parts of the physical body, but in conclusion, he says this, beginning in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with him. Or one member be honored, all members be honored. Rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He says, just as when one part of the physical body is hurting, all the other parts of the physical body hurt with it. When it feels good, all the other parts feel good. He said, just like in the physical realm, He says, you are in the body of Christ, and you are members in particular. You are important to Christ, is what Paul was saying. Because being in Christ's body, the church, means one can save his life in a positive, productive way through Christ. Because Christ came to the earth to save men from sin. Matthew 1:21, and He shall save His people from their sins. That was the mission of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul would say, but unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He says, being in Christ's body, we can be productive. We'll be able to do exceedingly. We can do abundantly above all that we even think we can do with the help of God and with the help of Christ. So therefore, one can glorify God with his life. We can glorify God each day we live with our lives and how productive our lives are. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul would say, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul says, glory in the church. You can have glory in the church by Christ and only through Christ. And this can happen all through the ages, he said. And world without end. And he has amen. So agreed. He was talking about. He said, so agreed. So therefore, we can glorify God in our lives. And our lives can be productive. And our lives can be ones of service unto God. We can also influence others to glorify God. We can also influence others to use this tool to glorify God, that they will even be obedient to the faith or come back to their first love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about light. And he talked about how light's important. Light's important tonight. If we didn't have any lights in this building, therefore I couldn't see what I'm trying to read. Y'all couldn't read, and therefore we'd have a problem. Well, that's the way it is in our lives. Christ, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 that light is important in our lives. He said, let your light so shine before men. Why, Jesus? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not that they may see your good works and glorify you, but they see your good works and in turn glorify God, who's in heaven, that they will see that God does produce peace, perfect peace. In Christ's body, one has salvation or deliverance from sin and for heaven. We can get rid of sins in our lives because we can point toward heaven. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now he said, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. Christ is predominant over the church. He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. Nobody can save us from sins but Christ. Jim can't. I can't. Don, Philip can't. Being elders, they can't do it. But Christ can. He can deliver us from sin. Because Christ saves the body or us through his death. If Christ had never died, then therefore he had never been raised from the dead. If he had never been raised from the dead, as Paul would later talk about in 1 Corinthians 15, then we have all men most miserable because he never was raised from the dead. And he said, we're without hope. But Christ has died. He was buried in a tomb. He did rise from the dead that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, and as we just noted, that Christ loved the church. That's the reason he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. The church, therefore, is made up of what? Saved people. Saved people is inseparably connected to the cross. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, now, Paul said that he, that's Christ, might reconcile. The word reconcile means to make friends again, both unto God in one body by the cross. Hey, Jesus, what he did, he made friends again with God and man, having slain the enmity thereby. He destroyed Satan. He overcame Satan that he could give us life at the end of time. But the church is inseparably connected to the cross. Because without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, Christ would not be the head of the church. In the third place, we're to be thankful for our calling. Again, look at our text, Colossians 3:15. He says, to the which ye are also called. Now we're called. We're called but we're called not in a mysterious way, but we're called by Christ. By obeying the commands of Christ, such as the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. Luke 24:46-47. But the Christian has been called into a vocation. And it's not the vocation which you go to work every day. This is a higher vocation. In fact, Paul talked about this vocation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or encourage you that ye walk worthy of the vocation. What's the vocation he's talking about? He's not talking about work, work away from the church. He said, the vocation wherewith ye are called. The Christian life is what he's talking about. He said, you were called, and you accepted that calling, and now you've got the vocation of walking worthy in that vocation. The Christian, therefore, it is an for the Christian an honor to be able to serve the Lord. It should be an honor that we have, that he's given us the tools we need to teach by and the ability to do it. It is such an honored position that one must diligently strive to walk worthy. To walk worthy according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. We're to walk worthy of that calling. The calling we have been called to do is a high calling according to Philippians chapter 3 verse 14. We have this high calling which is in Christ Jesus. The calling has a prize connected with it. We all like prizes, don't we? We like to be able to, you know, you go to a function and maybe take a ticket and they draw a number and announce a prize they're going to have. We all like to do that. But we're going to have the prize. We have a calling has a prize connected with it. And that prize is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And it's identified as the crown of righteousness. It's going to be the greatest prize we've ever got. In our lives on this earth, and when we get that crown of righteousness, and we know that we accepted that higher calling and have that prize on that occasion, then we know that everything's been worth it all. But I want to tell you something tonight. This prize is attainable. We can attain this prize. God didn't say to Paul to write to Timothy and tell him that he can obtain a crown of righteousness for nothing. He said, because all can obtain this crown of righteousness, which what? He says, which love the Lord, and love is a period. Because in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul would tell us that this prize is attainable. Let's look at that passage just for a minute. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the best of all prizes, isn't it? He said, I press toward this mark. I press toward this goal that I will receive this prize one day, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what is the means whereby God calls people or men to be obedient to his son? It's through the gospel. Through the gospel. Because in 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, we see that whereunto he called us by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can obtain this prize. The prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus is through the gospel. That's the only way. In the fourth place, we're to be thankful that the Father has made us fit for heaven. Fit for heaven. He's given us opportunity to be obedient in this life that we might be right in his son's sight at judgment. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. It said, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said, we're to give thanks for God, because God has given us, has made us, that we can be partakers of this inheritance one day. It's not here yet. But Christ has done all God has sent Christ to the earth, and Christ has accomplished what God the Father wanted him to do. Now it's up to us to be fit for this occasion. to thank God that He's given us at least the opportunity to get fit for the end of time. Because Christ delivered us from the power or the control of darkness. Look at that same chapter, Colossians 1:13. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. God in His infinite knowledge saw that we needed Christ. And He delivered us from darkness and gave us light, as we just discussed just a minute ago. And He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is called the church. And He gave us redemption, therefore, He bought us by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Just imagine. Christ, through His blood, gets rid of our sins. We don't have any responsibility over them anymore. As long as we've truly repented of them. And He'll wash them away by the blood of His Son. Men are redeemed from the bondage of sin only by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter said, but with the precious, he identifies it the precious blood of Christ. Because it's the only blood that can wash away sins. As a lamb without blemish and without spot, He was the true sacrifice. God had Him go through pain and agony and a death that He might take our place on the cross, that He might redeem man from sin by His blood. Men are redeemed from sin in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We can have redemption, we were bought through the blood, by the blood of Christ. And note, this is one of the spiritual blessings which we have. Because you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul identifies this, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And this is one of the spiritual blessings that we're bought by or redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, Christ therefore forgave our sins. Therefore, He removed the guilt of sin from our lives, from our souls. Paul would tell us in Colossians 1:22, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Christ did that for you. He did that for me. He removed the guilt of sin. The Father had Him go to the cross that we will have better lives to live. That we can have eternal life one day. Because up to that point, the law of Moses didn't provide for eternal life. And that took the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ to provide for eternal life. Therefore, He not only provided us to eternal life, but He provided us that we might get in Christ's kingdom, the church. The Lord controls our lives and therefore our destinies. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those words were spoken about 2,000 years ago and they still ring true tonight. That Jesus is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And He controls our lives. The mind of the Christian set on things above. As Paul would tell us in Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above. Seek those things. Strive for those things which are above in your life. Because the Christian shall be like unto Jesus when He comes. And we won't be ready for the coming of Jesus. We won't be like unto Jesus. We want to have Him and we want our lives to be approved by Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. It's going to be the greatest event of our lives. Jim, you and I stand up in this pulpit and preach, but just think about it. At the end of time, We'll see Christ in glory, and we can appear with Him in glory. And then we know what we studied and what we've, how we tried to communicate the gospel to people has been worth it at that point. And we see in our lives, as Christians, that we want to be like Christ. But you know, infidelity also brings ingratitude too. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul would tell, is talking about the state of the church there at Rome, about people who were unthankful. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, because they didn't obey the truth, because they didn't follow the footsteps of Jesus. But you know, we're to give thanks to God by Christ His Son. In Colossians 3:17, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This is who we direct our thanks to. To God and the Father by Jesus. Because, note, faithful brethren in Christ are the ones in whom are to give thanks. Because we have Christ in us, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, which is Christ in you. Christ is in you, He's in me tonight. Therefore, let's keep Him in there. Let's let His Word abide in us. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in your hearts and the minds tonight, that your Word, that your life also can be hid in Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. That your life will be one of service unto God. You know, in worship services, we can give thanks to God in the way in songs. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We've already done that tonight with Jim leading us in singing. But we also, in worship services, we can give thanks through the avenue of prayer. Because Colossians 3:15 of our text says, and be ye thankful. Be thankful that we have the privilege of prayer, that we can go to God and offer our petitions and our our requests be made known unto God. And then we also are thankful in worship that we can give as we've been prospered, according to 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let Him give, not grudging the necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And that's not only concerning our monetary means, but it's also concerning our time, our talents, and our abilities to God. Tonight, as a child of God, you may have not been as thankful as you once was in your life. You may see the need to respond, and you may want the prayers of the church tonight. We encourage you to do this tonight, because I know that you want to get the better prize. I know that you, when Jesus comes, that you want to be identified with Him, that you will want to be with Him, and that you will want to spend eternity in the heavenly sunlight. And if you need to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to do so right now as together we stand and sing.